are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
All of those bits, the cybersecurity units, were set up by a woman.
Oh, wow.
Working from home, because she was a working mum.
Yeah.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance and research-based publications.
This is Holly, editor at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. 2018 is the centenary of women winning the right to vote in the UK. To mark this anniversary, over the next year, I will be interviewing 100 women working in the field of education or in the public eye in order to catalogue their lives, celebrate their successes, discuss the challenges they face, and discuss what they would like to pass on to the next generation. In this podcast, I interview Pat Pachacharya. Pat's the head of computer science at Piggott School, and I was excited to talk to her as I'd read in the press about a group of girls from Piggott who, under her guidance and encouragement, had entered a national cybersecurity competition and won. You can hear all the details in our conversation and how passionate she is about her subject and encouraging girls to Piggott for GCSE. Okay, so today I am at Piggott School and I'm here with Pat Pachacharya. Hi, Pat, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Can I ask you what it is you do and where you do it?
Yes, so I am a head of computer science at the Piggott School and I've been a teacher for about seven years now, all 7 years in Piggott School.
Ah, great. Okay. Did you always want to be a teacher?
I was, no, not initially. I had a fair amount of careers I wanted to go into, a number of careers I wanted to go to into, but I was a software developer. So for many years I was a programmer before I decided to train as a teacher because I just felt that I had a lot more to give than just my programming skills. And I found fulfillment really as a teacher.
Great. So where did you work before?
Lots of different companies. I used to do a lot of what we call object-oriented development using OOP languages like Java, Visual C++. I have worked in London. I've worked and I started my career back in India about 18 years back. So yes, lots of different companies, lots of different languages, which kind of gives me a wide perception, if you like, of what is out there. And I also have my friends who are in the, and I know people in the industry, so I'm constantly in the know, as it were, knowing latest industry trends. So yeah, it helps.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I bet you can then get keep the kids really up to date with things.
Yes.
That's great. And so I hear that congratulations are in order. You and a couple of your girls have just won a national competition, I believe.
Yes, so four of our girls, Jess, Megan, Kalina and Zara, they won an absolutely amazing competition based on cybersecurity. And it was hosted by NCSC, which is the cybersecurity wing of GCHQ. It was a very tough, very challenging competition where the girls had to work through lots of different types of, lots of different domains of cybersecurity, like coding, logic, cybersecurity itself, networking. And the girls just, they were so resilient. They were so, you know, any challenges they faced, they overcame it. And also they spent hours trying to, they didn't give up. You know, they spent hours. Every time there was an obstacle, they went back home. They spent hours at home. They spent lunch times in schools just trying to crack through those problems. In the end, they went on to win the competition.
That's
so absolutely
fantastic.
Fabulous achievement by the girls.
Wow. Yes. And how many people entered, you said?
So, yes, we had over 20 girls within Piggott. But nationally, I think they gave us a figure of about 4,500 girls nationally who entered the competition, out of which only 40 girls got chosen to go to the finals in Manchester. And also NCSE did a fantastic job of, you know, they just pulled out all the stops. The girls were treated really, really well, a really lavish affair. the finals was in Old Trafford in Manchester, and the girls also got a tour of the BBC studios the day before. They hosted dinner in Manchester Museum. This is all the evening before, and then on Monday they had the finals, and then at the end of the day we were all invited to tea at Buckingham Palace with the, wow, with the Duke of York. So it was fantastic.
That's amazing. And so what did they have to do in their final, in the finals? What was the final activity?
So, as teachers, we weren't really allowed to, we were not allowed to know any of the questions. We were, just from what the girls tell me, they had to solve lots and lots of challenging questions. So they were given a scenario, which was about a company where there had been a ransomware attack. And one of the employees in particular was subjected to this attack. So this was basically the scenario. And what they had to do was they had to find clues all the way through, or use clues all the way through, and do research and come up with the answers and find out, for example, where the ransomware attack originated from. You know, what kind of companies might have been involved in this? How could this company protect itself from ransomware attacks and so on? So they were given lots and lots of little questions that they had to solve all the way through, leading on to the bigger questions and finding out the answers. So this is basically what they had to do.
That's brilliant. And how did they prepare for that?
So basically, they did it by doing research at home and also during school hours. But some of the concepts we already do in school. So Pigott has always been a leading school for computer science, even before the government's current initiative of introducing computing in year seven. We introduced computing in year seven 2 years in advance. So we've always been kind of trailblazers in that. And our curriculum has got lots of different strands. And one of the strands we teach is networking. And we do, and obviously as part of networking, we also teach them about cybersecurity. So they are already aware of the various issues that you know, people today are facing. So in that way, there was the kind of the basic background was already laid. But obviously the questions were far more challenging than the basic background. So having the basic background would have helped. Even if everything was new to them, then it might have been quite difficult to do the initial bits and pieces. So that would have helped, but then the girls would have had to do a lot of extra research. So we tried little bits and pieces where we could. The other thing was we were not really allowed to help the girls. And also, the more they research on a question, the less their, so they basically got devalued, their points got devalued. And any questions that were wrong, also the points got devalued. So, yes, and wow. it was really quite challenging indeed. And we were not really allowed to help the girls as well. That was meant to be, it would have to be above board.
But that was difficult for you.
It was difficult. So all we could do was send them a few videos that I thought was pertinent to cybersecurity. And I was sending them videos and links that A-level students study. So, you know, and even that would just cover the basics. Mm-hmm. So there were the questions that the girls had to answer went kind of beyond, you know, it was more application, not just the knowledge of it. So it was really, I mean, they did a massive, yeah, you know, really fantastic job. So,
and what made you kind of get involved into the girls?
Right.
The
now that is a long story. So the industry that I come from, we have a problem in that we don't have enough ladies or enough women or enough girls. And, you know, that is such a shame because, in my opinion, you know, you don't have to be a girl or a boy to be in any particular field. What you need is an aptitude and a love and a passion for this subject. That being said, girls are, in my experience in school, certainly girls are always the ones that are more organized, more conscientious. And if, along with that, if they have the ability and the aptitude to do well in a subject like computer science, I think we should be forwarding that cause. Now, when it came to my attention, I'm talking about like 7-8 years back when I started teaching, and I quickly realized that actually the subject does not attract as many girls in schools as it should be. And that trend follows all the way in adult life into industry. So it's always been my mission, if you like, to get as many girls doing the subject as boys, really. So what we have always done is we've looked at what kind of initiatives we could do to get girls going into the subject. So I take girls every year to an event hosted by Microsoft. It's called DigiGirls. And every year since the past, you know, 7-8 years, we've been taking them to Microsoft, and even before me. But the problem with that is it's quite limited in that we can only take year eight girls. So what I then do, and these girls then are spoken to by Microsoft, female employees of Microsoft, who tell them about the different, you know, different branches, if you like, the different departments of Microsoft where they work and the different roles that they do, and not all of them involve programming. So that gives the girls a really good idea of what it's out there, you know, what it's like to be out there in the industry doing all of these different roles, and how they could succeed doing lots of different types of different strands of education, not just computer science. But obviously, if they do STEM subjects, and that gives them a certain, you know, perhaps they get certain other skills which are really very, very useful. I then get the girls back every year, and they do an assembly for all of year eight. And I do it fairly within time so that I can influence, or I can make other year eight girls think about choosing these kind of subjects, obviously including mine. So that's always been, it's been something that I do over the years. And then suddenly this competition came along, and I thought, you know, I have to say thanks to Sue Forrest, the head of maths in our school, who brought it to my attention first. And together with Sue Forrest, and we had Chris Rimmer, who was an LSA, is a teaching cover supervisor, a teaching assistant with maths. And he then did the initial hard work, initial legwork with setting up the competition. So together, it was a very much a joint effort, I have to say. We literally grabbed the opportunity, and it's a phenomenal opportunity because of the number of girls who can take part in it. So if we have, let's say, roughly about 100 girls in year eight, 100 girls could have taken this opportunity, which is not possible in all types of schemes and all types of competitions. So that's the long story behind it. Now, the success of this has now meant that I have got different companies coming to me and offering or in wanting to have the girls over for doing different events. And so for me, this has been like it's opened those doors that I've been knocking on for ages.
Fantastic.
So I've got companies like Cisco, and I've got a few other HR companies, HRs from other companies trying to get in touch with me to get the girls, not just these girls, but girls in sixth form. So it's opened doors for me.
Fantastic.
I know it's opening, I mean, hopefully open those doors for girls, really.
That's really, really brilliant. It's so interesting. And what do you think the girls learnt from the experience?
So when we started, we had one of those four girls wanting to do computer science. By yesterday, we had three out of four wanting to do computer science. So in the short term, you know, my first quick gain is three out of those four girls wanting to do computer science. But I think it's far more, you know, I'm hoping that the effects are going to be far greater than this, because this year I think I have finally managed to go into double figures for girls taking the subject.
Wow, yeah, I was going to ask, what's the percentage
of
boys and girls?
So normally it's very low. We'd be lucky if we get one girl. From that scenario, we've now gone up to about six girls joining it. So in my current year nine, so who joined this year, if you like, I have got about eight girls in a group of 24. So
wow,
about one
okay.
third. So it's gone up slightly. But now, next year, I think I have got about a group of 30, two groups of together 30. And I think with the girls now, these girls now choosing, it's going to go up to double figures.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that is how I measure success, really, in that sense, because it's about making those young minds think about what's in it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I be doing it? And I think by highlighting the issues, for example, just in the field of cybersecurity, only 10% of cybersecurity workforce is women. And, you know, when you bring up these statistics, and these are very sharp, clever, able young minds, and when you make young minds think in that way, then there is every possibility that they are going to want to do the subject.
Yes, so. Yeah, absolutely. What would you say, I guess this links into it, in your job in general, is the main challenge that you face?
Yes, it's about the mentality of society and the mentality that it is strange, because you would think that people would go on ability rather than gender. However, if what I face most and it comes across when I'm talking, when I'm trying to attract girls or boys into my subject in year 8 options evenings, and I've had conversations where people have turned around and said, but you know, it's not really a natural subject for girls.
Really?
You know, what is she going to do in it? Yes.
And
that, I think, is something that's really got to change. I don't think you should force any child to do a subject they don't like. Equally, you should not influence a child negatively if they want to do the subject. Whether, again, and I have to re-emphasize on this, it's nothing to do with being a girl or a boy. You know, boys should do it and girls should do it if they want to do it, if they have have an understanding. And at the end of the day, to make them do well in the subject, that's my job. You know, they don't have to worry about, oh, whether I'm going to do well in the subject or not. Am I interested in the subject? Are there aspects of the subject that really capture my imagination? If that is the case, they should be doing the subject. And to make them do well in it, that's the teacher's job. That's what we are here for. Give us a chance. You know, give us a chance. We rarely fail a student. We would all, you know, we've had massive success stories. So just give us a chance. Let us think about, you know, issues like cybersecurity as not somebody else's problem. Let's think about these issues as our problem, because it is we who face it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Society. You know, we are all aware of all of these, of the big, uncontrolled almost issue of cybercrime. You know, we don't have enough professionals in the police, for example, to man these units. We need more professionals in the government departments to man these units. It's not somebody else's problem. It is actually our problem. And we are the people who need to churn out employees who can work in this field.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do it here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's do it amongst ourselves,
yeah,
actually.
Absolutely. So what advice would you give to other teachers listening to help kind of inspire girls in their class into studying computer science?
As a teacher, I fully appreciate what the time constraints of our job are. I have struggled, you know, with the work-life balance, as every other teacher does. So it's very hard for teachers to take out that extra time to organize all of these and to get the pupils interested. Because if I'm honest, it's been a struggle to even get pupils to put up their names. So you put out these competitions and you think, oh, I'm going to have so many takers. But you end up with very few, and you're constantly in a position where you are advertising, come on, let's do it. So that's a battle in itself. And for a teacher who has got only that much time, organizing it is one thing, but again, to have to popularize it and to really push it with the kids, to even get reluctant kids on board, that is another hassle. And I do appreciate that as a teacher. You know, we have that battle on our hands all the time. However, the rewards can be really sweet. If you can give up a little bit of time to kind of find out what kind of competitions are around you, and give up a little bit of time in organizing those, and just making sure that everybody's aware of these opportunities, then the turnaround time can be quite quick. You girls can suddenly find, I found that quite interesting, as indeed my girls have done. You know, they have changed their minds because they found this subject now quite fascinating. And they think, oh gosh, that's a bit of maths, that's a bit of languages. There's a variety of skills that a cybersecurity personnel could employ. Obviously, computer science being, and programming and coding and logic, networking being the biggest kind of, and maths being some of the biggest skills that they would need, but skills in lots of other subjects that they have learned can all be put together. So if anything, as a teacher, you know, see what other opportunities are there and just pop, you know, just kind of take it out to the girls and see if you can get girls in joining these competitions. And the turnaround time, the change in mentality can be very quick, very sudden. And I think as teachers, one of our jobs is inspiring young minds. And I count my successes when I see somebody who didn't even consider doing my subject suddenly joining it. For me, even if it's just one student, for me, that is an absolute fillip. You know, that's such a massive sense of achievement, really. So that's really what I would say.
Well, you speak so passionately about it. I can see why you're inspiring so many girls or anyone in your class, because it's great. You must be infectious. Okay, so just to finish, I'm going to do a couple of quick fire questions. So name three famous women, dead or alive, who you would like to invite to a dinner party.
Right. Quite interesting. And these are women from any field?
Yeah, can be anyone you want.
Ada Lovelace.
Good one, good one.
Fantastic. Slightly frightening, but I'm going to say Madame Curie.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And I'm going to say we had a poet in India, a poetess, freedom fighter, Sarojini Naidu. I'm happy to give you her name.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brilliant. Oh, that so sounds like a great dinner party. Good choice. What's one thing you've learnt today?
Learnt today from our conversation?
Or anything. Anything that you might have learnt since getting up today?
It's not been that long.
No, I haven't given you much time there.
But today, what did I learn today? I learned yesterday, though.
Okay. Tell me one thing you've learned this week, then.
So it was we had an interview yesterday with BBC World Service, and the lady who did the interview, she's actually the cybersecurity director for Accenture.
Wow!
And she was just doing this as a one-off show for BBC because she sometimes does shows with BBC. And she got us this book, and this book is about American cybersecurity women in cybersecurity. And it's not very well known, but there were about 11,000 women. The book is called Code Girls.
Brilliant.
It's a new book that came out. And this author is going to be one of the...
Lisa Mundy.
She's also going to be interviewed for the same show that we were interviewed for.
Ah, great.
So I learned about how, actually, sadly, women in the US are also kind of undervalued. But also, very interestingly, I learned that the national Security Center, NSC, I think it's called, for the equivalent of the GCQ in the US. All of those bits, the cybersecurity units, were set up by a woman.
Oh, wow.
Working from home because she was a working mum.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Wow.
Really fascinating.
Yeah. Oh,
things that we learned yesterday was really, really fascinating.
Oh, great. And you're going to be on TV.
We were already on TV.
Oh, it's already on?
Yes. There's a YouTube link if you wanted to.
Yeah, no, pass definitely. It on to you.
Yes, we were on BBC Breakfast a couple of weeks back. So that was like a bit surreal.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, wow. Fantastic. Well, what should we go for last? We'll go for... Well, I was going to ask you what you're currently reading, but I think you've already answered.
I am beginning to read that. Yes, it's fantastic. But if I'm honest, I always read my coursework, as in books, you know, because I was just reading this morning because I was I was setting some work for my year 13.
That's so, your computer science OCR level textbook.
For my A level, it gives us very less time to read.
Yeah, of course it does.
But I was beginning to read that yesterday, but I was also reading some articles on cybersecurity because I was researching something for my year 11.
Yep.
So if you ask me what I was reading recently, I was reading about, I can tell you, it's called SQL or SQL injections.
Oh,
and it's a way of hacking into websites.
Wow.
And I was reading about what actually happens and how to prevent it because I was going to teach them. So that's
brilliant.
What I was reading.
Wow,
not
very
exciting.
Interesting. Yeah, no, it's good. Oh, that's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for talking to me, Pat. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank
interesting.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to Teacher Toolkit. You can find out more about 100 Years, 100 Women on our website, teachertoolkit.co.uk, or follow us on social media using the hashtag TTKit100Women.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.